If you're a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility and your machinery isn't working right, Grainger knows you need to understand what's wrong as soon as possible. So when a conveyor motor falters, Grainger offers diagnostic tools like calibration kits and multimeters to help you identify and fix the problem. With Grainger, you can be confident you have everything you need to keep your facility running smoothly. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello, everybody. It's me, Ross, and welcome back to another edition of the Kings of Anglia Fan Social, where Town fans have their say on all things going on at Portman Road. Well, the season is up and running. Fans are back in the ground. We've seen a draw against Morecambe, and we're out of the Carabao Cup, who's in against Newport. But still exciting times at the club. Busy week. Four new signings. And, burnt away on the weekend. I'm joined by four fine gentlemen as we discover and talk about the Morecambe draw and all the other bits and bobs. Finn Downs has finally departed, and also squad numbers are out. That came very much under the radar. Of course, the signings happened on Friday night, and then squad numbers just got, here we go. And Ed Sheeran's got a squad number. I won't say any more on that because I'm not a fan. But I'm joined today by Matt, a.k.a. Bono, a.k.a. View from the U2, a.k.a. my partner in crime pre-match on Saturday, just gone. It was great to spend my company with him. We're also joined by Harvey, the Sweet Welsh Prince, friend of the show. We're also joined by Liam, a.k.a. Liam from Crew. And finally joined by good old Ben Diaf, Ben Def, if you want to say that, if you don't want to include the little line. I don't know what you call that. What do you call that, Ben? That's the thing. That's the thing. As you know, I'm not the brightest of them all. But I'm excited for this pod. I cannot wait. Let's get right into it then. Bono, welcome back to the show. How are you? And thank you very much for your company for the Morecambe game.
Well, hi, everybody. Yes, it's great to be back. And wasn't Saturday a fantastic day? I am well. I am well. I'm optimistic. And I am pumped for most things, actually. For most things. I'm good. I'm glad to be here.
Top man. And we'll get into Morecambe and also our pre-match shenanigans, I'm sure. From the peek behind the curtain sort of thing, it's gold. It's comedy gold because we'll get into that anyway. But up next, we've got Harvey, the Sweet Rails Prince himself, who is very excited for this Saturday because he's going to be at a Town game. Burton with his good old dad, Terry. I cannot wait to see him. But Harvey, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm buzzing, Ross. I really am. I'm all good. We're nearly at the end of the week, so that's a good thing. We're getting closer to another game, which I'm just so excited for. I don't remember a time in the last few years where I've been excited for Town games, especially under the last manager, who will remain nameless. I'm all good. I'm pleased to be back. It's been a while, so good to get chatting with you all again.
And as you said, when the Fan Social is out, you know it's the weekend because it's Friday and it's closed out on Friday. So it gets you ready for your weekend, the Fan Social. And Liam from Crew is here. Liam, how are you doing, my friend? You were very much bright on Saturday, just gone with the new away, the third goalkeeping kit. But how good was it to be back at Portman Road on Saturday?
Immense. It's just great to be back at live football. I had a little bit of that in the Euros in the summer, but it's just great to be back now with the live football. Most of my mates said that I looked like a salmon on Saturday with that pink shirt in around loads of blue shirts. So I may have to resort back to the blue shirt from last year at Portman Road games now. But it was just fantastic to have the whole routine back, just the whole day. I mean, obviously we go for the football, but the whole day of going to the pub, meeting up with mates and stuff, and this is the first time that I would have seen some people in 18 months, so it was a really really emotional day in some ways, but it was just fantastic to be back.
It was indeed. And yeah, just goosebumps when the players came out, when Paul Cook came out and clapped all the fans. That's the first time Paul Cook was able to actually appreciate the fans in the ground. I know we had the preseason friendlies, but this was 21,000 fans in the stadium. And Ben, it was a draw to kick off the season, but it doesn't matter. Fans are back in the ground. And how are you, my friend? Welcome back to the show.
Yeah, thanks, Ross. Good to see everybody. Good to be back. And I mean that on the podcast, but also good to see Town back on the pitch. I think it's a bit of a free hit Saturday. No matter, I'm glad we didn't lose, obviously, but the fact we've got a draw. The main thing was to see fans back in the ground. Fantastic reception for Cook and the players. And the positivity, as my fellow pod members have just been going on about there, is flowing. Let's keep it going. Delighted to be here. Delighted to see the team playing. Delighted that we're another step back to normality. It's all good news. Thank you, mate.
Yes, mate. And let's talk about the Morecambe game then. It's been covered by the main pod, has been covered by everybody, you know, every outlet you can think of. But it's always good to still cover all bases. And Matt, 2-2 against Morecambe. Morecambe took the lead. Cole Stockton with a good finish, to be fair. Well played. Then Scott Fraser equalised. And then you know the rest. But what's your main takeaways from the game? Of course, it was fantastic to be back in the ground. You were made famous for the Macaulay Bonn late equaliser, a dream debut for him. And if you look at the highlights and the corner of it, you see a good old Matt Bono, slipping a little bit there. But what was your main takeaways from the game?
Yeah, thanks for that, Ross. Absolutely electric atmosphere at Fortress Portman Road. Very, very changeable weather, as we found out before the game. In the fan zone, we had pretty much all four seasons worth of conditions in the space of about 20 minutes, between about 1 and 20 past 1. But it was just, yeah, we've all gone to some games, we've all gone to pre-season. Some of us went to the couple of games at the end of last year, but it was just, I'm hard pressed to find like an eloquent way of just saying how bloody good it was to be back and to see people to nearly fall on the pitch. It was, you know, and receive a lifetime ban. It was absolutely brilliant. But I think this is, you know, I've been a Town fan for a while, more than some, a lot less than others. But, you know, it's just the excitement that's just been building the last few months. Seeing these new signings, you know, it's like a real life football manager game, as I think we mentioned before. But we'll cut to the chase. It was a decent game. It was a really, really decent game of football. You know, we've not played Morecambe for a while. It was their first trip to Portman Road in what I think ever.
I think 2001 in the FA Cup they came. Yeah, it's a long time ago.
Yeah, they were in good voice. I think 300 of them came down or something like that. And all of these new signings are upgrades. I don't think you can look at it any other way. The technique, the pace. They did look like a team of people that have really only been training. Some of them for a matter of days, the rest for a month and a half. And it will come. You know, Paul Cook has mentioned that, you know, one of his main responsibilities and one that he takes quite seriously is managing people's expectations. So whilst we all don't want to be in League One and we all want to get promoted and 100 points, 100 goals, that kind of nonsense, you know, it's going to be tough. And moulding these fantastic players together into a team is going to be some task, which is why I've said a few times, let's judge things at Christmas time. You know, we, you know, a third of a way into the season, but Saturday was just absolutely banging. What wasn't it? Last minute equaliser. It's a shame that Toto got injured, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What a boy. He was having a decent game. Was Aristotle. But yeah, I'm really, really impressed with all the new guys. They will come into their own, definitely. Lee Evans, it wasn't a fist pump. It was more of a. Well, I guess it was technically a fist pump, wasn't it? But yeah, we. I think some members of the pub don't want to be reminded of fist pumps by captains, do they? But yeah, it was. I won't ramble anymore. It was just bloody great, wasn't it? It's just great. Get me back there. I can't go to Burton, you bastards. But there you go.
I want to say a big thanks as well. People behind the curtain sort of thing, pre-match, Matt, both of you and me are in the fan zone. I was getting you to hold my camera, not hold anything else. Dirty mind. But, in all weathers, I won't say how many intros I did. I probably did about 10 or 20 takes. But then also we did it in all weathers and I decided, nope, I'm going to redo that. But thank you very much for that. I'm sorry that I didn't buy you a pint, but you'll get a pint at some point.
Next time.
Next time, my friend. MK Dons, bring it on. I'm going to skip to Harvey before I go to Liam. I want to go to Liam first because he was at the game at Portland Road. So, Harvey, I'll come to you in a second. But, Liam, how was it being back at Portland Road? You said 18 months, seeing old faces again for the first time in that long. It was a draw, but it's not always about the results sometimes. It's about being back in the ground. But what's your main takeaways from the game?
Well, I have to echo what Matt said because obviously me and you both live in Kesgrave, so we both came in together and we both had to hide under a tree to get away from the really heavy stuff before we even got into town. And then it suddenly went sunny and then it rained again and then the sun came out and then it did this all the way through the game. And even at one stage, it was sunny and raining. So it was a bit of a mixed bag with the weather, but the overall day was just fantastic. A lot of people have been building up to this for quite a while, the start of a new season. And of course, the excitement now around a new era and a new team. And look, I think it's a bit bittersweet. I think I expected us to win the game. I said 2-0. I didn't think I didn't think Morecambe would score, actually. But credit to them. They came, and in some ways, I think for them, it was probably the best time to play Town, because for them, Town is one of the big attractions, isn't it? It's one of the big grounds they're going to go to this season. And I think as soon as we start getting into the crunch periods of the season, towards the winter, into the winter and then beyond into next year, you're going to start seeing where the league table is going to be and where teams are going to start settling into. And I think you're going to find Morecambe will probably be in that relegation battle at the bottom, just for the size of club. And it's their first season at this level. But to be at Portman Road on the opening day, they probably fancied their chances more than they probably would if they played Town in 2 or 3 months. And I think that's exactly how it played out. They played fairly well. They took their chances when they came. A little bit of help from Town with 2 goals. Wasn't particularly great defending on either. The second one especially, Wolfenden just has to absolutely smash that into the stand. But I think the thing for Town fans is you can see that there is a much better team there. And when the cohesion comes, it will be much better and we will enjoy watching the team. And I think that's the main takeaway. I mean, a draw is, in a way, the last-minute goal is a good result. It's a good result. I mean, we were looking like we were going to lose, and that last 10 minutes, we didn't really create a lot. Didn't look like we were massively banging on the door, and it looked like Morecambe might get away with a really good 3 points on the opening day, and we get the equaliser. So, in the scheme of things, it might be a good point. It may be too dropped, but it's far, far too early to tell. And I think, really, it's more about, as you said, as being able to go back to live football, having the crowds back. And look, the team is still evolving. There are still some signings still to come, hopefully at the back. and we've still got a few weeks yet at the window, so we're not going to have everything settled until probably the start of September when that window shuts. And then that's when the real work starts from then, when the team can't be changed anymore. But, I mean, I was encouraged. Could have created a bit more, but I think we can see that sparks are there and it just needs that full connection of the entire team. And once they get all that cohesion, I think we're in for a pretty exciting season.
We are indeed. And of course, Desmond, always a good scoreline, 2-2. James Farthing, the man who is part of the Kings of Anglia posse, he predicted that right. So he got 4 points, maximum points in the prediction league. So great start for him. A lot of us were joking and laughing. What are you on, James? 2-2 draw? What are we talking about? But he was right. There we go. Harvey, what's your takeaways? Macaulay Bonnet, what a dream debut. Charity boy, just like me, my boy. A dream that all of us have is to walk on that Portland Road pitch and score a goal, a late equaliser to survive us not losing against Morecambe. That would have been not a good start. But, you know, what's the main takeaways for yourself?
Yeah, I usually, I have to be honest, I usually hate players kissing the badge. It really cringes me and goes through me. But watching him do that in the last minute, the club he was released by at 14, you know, you couldn't not love it. The main takeaway, to be honest, it was just amazing to see fans back. I watched Stu's video before kickoff, and it really did give you goosebumps. I've actually said this, but I was very, very close to going, and I kind of like half jokingly mentioned it to my other half while we were sat here, like, oh, should I get the train down tomorrow? And then all of a sudden it gone from like a joke to genuinely looking on train line and looking how I could do it. But I decided against it in the end. I wouldn't have got home until about, well, I wasn't until 11:45 the day before, and then about 2 o'clock in the morning the day after. And I thought, I'm off to Burton next week, so I'll give it a miss. But it was very, very tempting. It was great. A decent point in the grand scheme of things. A team that has never played with each other before, a whole new team of faces. I thought it sounded like there were some really good partnerships being developed. Evans and Harker in particular, I think once they get in their groove, they're not even, I don't think, 20% of what they will be, come kind of Christmas time. Once they get in the groove, I think they'll be unplayable in this league. It was a decent result, all being told. It was disappointing to go 2-1 down. Clearly there's some issues we need sorting out in defence. We need a centre back desperately. Wolfenden for me is just not, he needs to kick up the arse basically. I know he's said this for about 2 or 3 years, and I know it's very early on in the season, but he's such a good player, but he's far too casual for me. But anyway, I won't harp on about Wolfenden. It was great to have fans back. 21,000 there. An amazing stadium. The atmosphere was incredible. Football is absolutely zilch without its fans. It's pointless. It really, really is. So it's great to see so many back, so many season tickets sold. Hopefully it's on the way up from here. And we can celebrate plenty more goals together and celebrate plenty more last-minute winners, hopefully.
Yes, that is the goal. And over to you then, Ben. Final notes on the game. As I said, there was goals in the game, so that's a good positive note. I know you weren't there yourself, unfortunately, but from a person who was maybe covering, seeing it from Twitter and all that sort of stuff and seeing different videos and seeing just the great atmosphere there, what have you missed the most about going to games? And a 2-2 draw against Morecambe is probably not the way we want to start the season, but the positive note is fans are back. Football around the country was just beaming. I'm sure there are loads of different fans on all the trains across the country going to the games, full houses everywhere. It was just brilliant.
Yeah, absolutely brilliant, Ross, as the lad said about seeing the fans back. Macaulay Bonnet, a fantastic equaliser at the end for us. Great story. You know, the child comes back, the charge boy comes back to obviously make a mark when he'd been released when he was a teenager. It was all fantastic to follow. I followed it on Twitter. I was actually on a stag doing Liverpool, so I sort of around kickoff time, I was still feeling a little bit worse for wear. By 5 o'clock, I was starting to feel back on the wagon and celebrating the equaliser. But it was brilliant just to see all the videos, see all the positivity. It's just great to have our club again. Just, I can't speak highly enough about what Cook and Ashton have done for us. It's sort of just very, not even a chapter, the first sort of few paragraphs in what is going to be, hopefully a really long and successful story for us. So a point, I'll take being 2-1 down, going into injury time, you've got to take a point. Again, like the lad said, from everything I've read, all the match reports, all the highlights, really some good partnerships. We scored a fantastic first goal, you know, a brilliant move. I haven't seen us score a goal like that for actually a long, long time, just the way that we passed the ball. You know, slick movement throughout the midfield into the area. Lovely 1-2 between, obviously finishing off with Fraser, but then Chaplin as well, playing a part in that. It was just good goals. You know, mixed it up. Norwood with his flick and Bone with the header. I'm really positive for the weeks moving forward, but not unrealistic knowing that it's going to take a few weeks for everything to come together. But the main point from last Saturday, Ross, was, as you said, people like yourself back in the ground, videoing the fans, interviewing Bono. We can see all that content. It's absolutely excellent for the community as a whole. Hopefully more money coming into all the surrounding pubs, all the caterers, everybody around Suffolk must be delighted.
Yeah, that's another thing. Now, big takeaway for all the towns and cities, having all those people back in the grounds, going to the pubs, going to the restaurants, even going in hotels. I'm sure people did the night over, stay overs and stuff like that. I'm sure Harvey's going to do that at one point. But let's move on to Tuesday, just gone. Carabao Cup, first round, Newport County. We're in town. I love their stadium name, Rodney Parade, which is great. Thankfully, we didn't need to go to Newport, but Newport came to us and they won. Tammy Abraham's brother Timmy got the goal, the only goal of the game. And Matt, you were there, my friend. The only man in this pod were there. And we're out of the Carabao Cup early doors as normal. That is a normal town thing. We thought it was a new dawn. We may have a nice little cut run, but we're out. The question to everyone at one stage were, do you care about the cup? But Matt, what's the takeaways from that game? And there's a few changes, I have to say. Cameron Humphreys was the standout, I hear, as another young player. But Macaulay Bond started. But we won't talk much about Sonny Oluko's debut. Apparently, he was very much off it a little bit. But take it away, my friend.
So, yeah, Tuesday night, I joined 6,500 people at Fortress Portman Road. They closed half the ground, so I didn't get to sit in my beloved little corner in the U2. So I sat up in the gods of the Y block of the I think we're calling it West Stand at the moment, until Nigel Havers or somebody like that sponsors it. So went up there. Because I work in London, I've got the train home, and there's a load of Newport fans on there, and I'm a sucker for a Welsh accent. Harvey, how you doing? And spoke to some Newport fans, spoke to some of them, and they were really, really looking forward to it. And it was fantastic. Sat in front of John McGreal, right near Kieran Dyer and Paul Goddard, and Millie Yedernak was there watching Matey Boy on loan from Aston Villa, and of course, right in front of the media desk. So got to meet and say hello to Stu and Andy from the main pod. But anyway, as per usual, I'm digressing. Yeah, 10 changes. I mainly went, not only because the tickets were £10 plus the £1 fee, SeatGeek fee, but I wanted to see the new signings. And I wanted to see some young players, see how far they progressed. But you know what? It was one of those days, wasn't it? You know, we had 69% possession, 26 shots. I think if we were still playing now, we still wouldn't have scored. Am I that bothered? Part of me, yes, because I want a cup run, and it's still embarrassing. It's embarrassing when you work with non-football people, as I do, and you know, they expect you to come in the next morning and be crowing about winning a game, and they're like, oh, you lost to Newport. Who are they? Type thing. But also, part of me thinks, let's keep the powder dry. We do need to concentrate on the league. And that's where it's at for me. But you know what? It was actually a really, really decent game. There were some lovely little partnerships going on. I think we mentioned Wolfenden earlier being a bit too lackadaisical. And again, just it's like, wake up, man. You've got the talent. You need the kind of application. Holy in goal looked decent. Janoi Danasian, he's not a Paul Cook right back. He's a fullback. He's not a flying kind of wing back like my boy KVY is. Matey Boy, I've forgotten his name, from the youth team on left back, was was great. Ndaba, I feel Ndaba is not ready for first team football. He needs to go out on loan to somebody like Stevenage or somebody like that. But in the middle, most kind of impressive for me, El Mazzouni, he looks like a bit of a leader on the pitch. You could hear him from where I was up in the gods, talking and shouting and pointing and giving instructions to kind of more senior people. Cameron Humphreys, again, he looked quite impressive. Wide, you had our little Albanian kind of, I don't know what we're going to call him. I don't want to call him like a little playmaker because I don't know where his best position is. I don't think he does either. Once he learns to release the ball, he's going to be an absolutely top-class player that can go all the way if he wants to. His temperament is really, really good now. He was being kicked up in the air by a lot of the Newport players. I think last season before he would have reacted and got into a bit of a melee. Sonny Aluko, yeah, kind of rustier than an old bolt, really, wasn't he? But he got into the game, but he tired very, very quickly, which is why he was withdrawn kind of 10 minutes into the second half. Louis Barry looks an absolute baller, just effortless skill. His vision, you know, part of the reason why I also sat kind of in a different place is, you know, you're able to see more passages of play. And, you know, there was a few non-look passes. You could see that he kind of, a little bit like Evans and Harper, they're kind of thinking two or three steps ahead, whereas we haven't really seen that as Town fans for a couple of years. And Bond's getting there as well. He actually had a decent game. And obviously we saw the changes. Absolutely, I'm so gutted for Norwood. He's worked really hard, both on his character, his temperament and his fitness. And I think he went up. He's so good in the air, as we saw on Saturday, but he went up for a header, and I think he landed quite badly on his ankle. What I don't think helps modern players is these ridiculous kind of boots made out of whatever. Like, they look like wetsuits, don't they? There's no like body or fibre to them. So get some Copper Mundials or some Umbro Especiali, and you know, I think ankle injuries and foot injuries may become kind of dormant again. But yeah, it was great, and I was actually surprised the crowd was that low. I saw a League Cup game against Yeovil a few years ago, I think in I can't say his name normally, the Mick McCarthy era, and I think that was 6,000. There was a lot of noise coming from the north stand, and it was great. But you know what? Let's concentrate on EFL League One, and yeah, plenty of positives though. Let's not flounce. Let's tranquilo. Let's be calm. You know.
Yeah. Well, because yeah, that was the big talking point on Twitter and everything after the game about, you know, a lot of frustrations from fans and already thinking, oh God, it's gone to shit already. But the League Cup is something that we're known about getting knocked out early doors by lower league opposition. Got a nice little stat here. Northampton in 2011, Carlisle in 2012, Stevenage in 2013, Crawley in 2014, Stevenage again in 2016, Exeter in 2018, for examples. And then, of course, we haven't really done that well. I think we've only won 4 games across 11 seasons in the competition. And the question to pretty much Harvey, Liam and Ben, and I'll let you get involved as well, Matt, you know, do you care about the League Cup? And you know, the focus, of course, is to getting out of League One. But also, it's nice to have little cup runs here and there. You know, think when we actually won a cup game, I think it was when we played Man United once. You know, we got an opportunity to go to Old Trafford, although Mick McCarthy played Peter Mlarchek and Larson Torre and many other players in that game. But Harvey, over to you. Should we care that we're out of the League Cup? Or is it this, as Paul Cook said, it's about the league this year. That is the main focus. But also, it's nice to not lose against lower league opposition. But over to you.
Yeah, of course it is. You want to win every game. And that's such a boring cliche, but it's true. Personally, I honestly wasn't bothered at all. I was more interested to see the lineup beforehand, and I was more interested to see how those partnerships have developed. It's really interesting to listen to Martin, and who is obviously at the game, and listen to how, you know, there's some decent performances out there. Barry sounds like such an exciting player. In terms of the result itself, honestly, I really, really wasn't bothered by it. We've got far more important things to think about this season. It's arguably the hardest League One I can remember for teams to get out of. So in my view, we need all our eggs in firmly in the League One basket. You know, nice FA Cup run, or I was going to call it Johnson's Paints, or Papa John's now, isn't it? You know, a bit of added income. I don't think the income for Carabao Cup is any good, really. I think if you go a few rounds in the FA Cup, is quite significant a little bit. So, especially for a League One club, so that'll be nice. But again, not overly bothered. I'm just focused on the league. I really, really am. It's so important for me that we get out this season, because it's so easy to get stuck in a rut. You look at Sunderland, I think they're in their fourth year in League One, is it? It's such a massive club. So, yeah, it's all about the league for me. Michael Flynn's done a brilliant job at Newport, so I didn't expect to have an easy game. They've got a really good cup record against teams from the higher league. So it was never going to be an easy game. It especially wasn't with you know, the lineup we put out, 10 changes. It was interesting because I actually tweeted a few days earlier saying that we needed two midfielders, because for me, Almazuni is either a number 10 or nothing, essentially. But the fact he played a little bit deeper and was able to dictate the ball a bit more was really interesting, because I didn't see him as that player at all, to be honest with you. I didn't really see him as a number 8 who could kind of grab the game by the scruff of the neck. So it was interesting to see all these partnerships. Bailey Clements looked like he had a really good game at left back. So that's what it was all about for me, giving the youngsters a bit more game time. And again, seeing partnerships develop into, hopefully, you know, if we need people like Almazuni, if we have, I don't know, an injury crisis at left back and have to put Bailey Clements in, we know that they're going to do a decent job. And I know it's different in front of 6,000 than in front of a roaring 20,000 on a Saturday, but, you know, it goes to show that we've got a little bit of, I know we need more, but we've got a little bit of depth there that can come in when we need it. But no, to give you a very long answer to your question, no, I'm not bothered whatsoever that we're out of the cup. It's all on the league, and it's all on Saturday in the next game and so on. So no, not for me.
Okay, and I'm sure, Liam, you're going to echo what Harvey said, but your point on it, your thoughts on the cup, and you know, a lot of clubs don't really care about it that much. Although I'm just going to bring up a result here: Morecambe beat Blackburn, so 2-2 draw against Morecambe. It's not a bad point. They're just beating Blackburn in the cup. I'm sure Blackburn made a lot of changes, but yeah, your thoughts on the cup in general. The FA Cup is, of course, the magic of the FA Cup. It's lost the magic a little bit in recent years, but it's still a competition I'm sure players around the country love to play. And of course, we're going to be in the first round again this year, so we could possibly play a non-league club if the likes of Bury Town or whatever, if they can get as far as possible the first round, but that's probably not going to happen. But the League Cup, the Carabao Cup, the Carling Cup, all the other sponsors have had, we've never really had a good history of it. I know we got to the semi-finals back in 2011 when we played Arsenal, beat them in the first leg, then lost in the second leg. But yeah, your thoughts on it?
Well, I mean, this pretty much sums it up for me. I was one of 21,000 who was at the game on Saturday, and I didn't turn up on Tuesday. So might sound bad from a season ticket holder, but I just couldn't be bothered. I mean, it might be easier if I was working in the office and not working from home. I could have just jumped straight round the corner, as I work right next door to Portman Road, pretty much. But that pretty much sums it up from my point of view. I mean, the League Cup's a bit of a weird competition throughout. It's not just the likes of us, but the Championship clubs, a lot of them play weakened sides. They're not that bothered about it. And the Premier League clubs do it exactly the same until it gets towards the crunch periods near the end of the competition, when they're in it to win it. And that's when you start seeing the first teamers start coming in. So it's a bit of a devalued competition overall, really. But I mean, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, it could have been an opportunity for maybe Cook to play a first team and give it another game to gel. But then, of course, you don't want to risk players getting injured and so on, especially so early on in the development. So he was never going to do that, and changes were always going to happen. But looking at the highlights, I mean, I didn't watch the game, but looking at the highlights, I mean, it looked like Town had numerous chances, some absolute golden ones, including one that I've seen from Dobro, which was a bit of a shocker, that he somehow managed to hit straight at the keeper. And then the resulting rebound got cleared off the line. I think it was Jackson, actually, who seems to be clinging on by a thread. But it wasn't a game where we... I've seen some League Cup games where it's just... they've made loads of changes and it's just soulless. It's just a really appalling night and that's it. But it, by the sounds of it, a lot of people were very encouraged by the performance on Tuesday night, by a much changed team that's what's going to be out on Saturday against Burton. So, in a way, I think people who are getting a little bit carried away, and some idiots out there potentially already putting Cook under pressure. I mean, frankly, I mean, you've just got to look at Blackpool and Oxford United last season. Oxford United were nowhere near when we went to Oxford and had that appalling 0-0 draw last season. And Oxford United came flying up and got into the playoff. And Blackpool, who we absolutely annihilated 4-1, the only game where we actually scored a number of goals in the whole entire season. And they were nowhere when we beat them at Bloomfield Road. But we're now... they got all the way up to third and got promoted via the playoffs, and had the season just been a little bit longer, they probably would have snuck automatic. So it's not, you can potentially give yourself a lot of work to do, but I think a draw at the weekend and okay, out the cup, no one really, I think, gives too much bother about it, because we're not going to win the competition. I love the FA Cup. The FA Cup has always been something special. And with Town's unique history of actually being a cup winner, then it would be nice to see Town actually treat the competition with a little bit more respect and try and go on the cup run. And for us fans, I mean, having a day out in the third round in January at a big club, or having a big club come down to Portman Road, would be brilliant. And you could say the same thing about the League Cup, but at the end of the day, the League Cup doesn't matter to pretty much almost every team, so it's not a big loss for me. And I think the season, even if it's going to be a bit slow to start with, as soon as they gel, if we end up being like Blackpool or Oxford from last season when it finally clicked, especially Blackpool, who did pretty much do exactly what we've done and produce a completely new team in the hot in that summer, then we will be coming back like a train, and watch out by the end of the season. So for those who are already panicking, just calm your jets.
And of course, about a month ago, we were saying don't panic because we haven't made any signings. And well, we'll get lead on to that in a second. But Ben, I was able to sort of meet you and get you involved in the podcast because we did the documentary on the Arsenal semi-final first leg. People were laughing and saying you lost the second leg though, guys. But what a night that was against Arsenal in the semi-final first leg, winning 1-0. Cesc Fabregas calling us a rugby team. But what's your thoughts on the League Cup and, you know, our history in it in recent years? We've lost like Exeter. We lost against them on penalties, which was not great because that was the relegation season. Paul Hurst's second game in charge, I think it was. But to round off the League Cup exit and to forget about that for another year, what's your thoughts on it?
Same as the rest of the guys. I'm not going to bring anything revolutionary in terms of an opinion here. I don't, you know, it's a bit of a... if we win, everyone's delighted that, you know, we won a game of football under, you know, with new players, and we've got people to talk about, goal scorers, goals to watch, rewards the loyal fans who went, people like Matt. But at the end of the day, it's not going to get us promoted being in the League Cup. It's not great timing in terms of where it is in the season, where you have to come in the first round, which obviously we do. We've got a game Saturday and then obviously next Tuesday. So we're never going to play players to gel, you know, this quickly, to basically have four games in, what, 10 days. So no, not really fussed with that we're out. I don't understand any of the panic, it's absolute nonsense. We've had one league game. It's not even a conversation. If you've missed football that badly just to be negative, you shouldn't really bother. You should find another sport, find another hobby. Don't clog up my Twitter feed or anybody else's for that negativity. We've had a crap 18 months as a fan base watching absolutely turgid football, dealing with COVID. If you can't come out and now enjoy football as a fan, then football's not for you. Football fanship is not for you. It is completely pointless chatting absolute load of rubbish after one league game. If we lose the first 10, Ross, you can come back to me and I will rant and rave and be disappointed. But let's just leave that conversation there. League Cup, disappointing. Hope we get through in the FA Cup a little bit more. But I'm not bothered in the slightest.
Okay, then. Well, let's move on. I was going to get Bono's thoughts on it, but I'm sure you're going to echo what all the other lads said. But let's get into the sexy stuff, my friend. Four new signings through the door since we last recorded the Fan Social. Of course, the main pod and many other pods have discussed the new signings. But Louis Barry, Sonny Oluko, Hayden Colston is finally through the door. And then a man called Cole Edwards, which was very much out of the blue. Wasn't linked, wasn't reported on. It just happened. And, of course, joining up with his good friend Rakeem the Dream Harper. But out of those four signings, who are you liking the most? And, yeah, your thoughts on all of them?
I can't say I like all of them, can I? You know, doing a little bit of digging on the man, Hayden Coulson. He apparently he can play an attacking midfield as well. This is amazing. And so I am positively salivating at the fact that we've got attacking options on both flanks, in terms of from the back, because it's a style of play that I absolutely love. Louis Barry, like I said earlier, he looks absolutely brilliant. Who else we got? Carl Edwards. How have we signed him? I mean, there is a little tiny, just a little smidge right in the back of me, hemoglobus or whatever it's called, that's just thinking, please don't go bankrupt. Please, like, you know, I have had an actual nightmare where I've woken up thinking, shit, the Americans have pulled the plug. The money stopped. We're absolutely effed. But, you know, it's, I trust these guys. You've got hashtag trust the process. But I don't, you know, I just want, I think I tweeted today, I want to see Barry again. I want to see Barry from EastEnders singing, because that means we're going to make two signings in one day, because we're going to do it anyway. But I don't want the signings to stop. We want to get to 20 and then 25, and then we can forget all of the thanks for your service, lads, but we can forget all the absolute people that have been with us on this journey down, because we're going upwards. But whilst I'm excited, I am starting to get a little bit concerned about the money. Obviously, we're going to sell 38 million Ed Sheeran shirts. I won't mention the number because we haven't talked about that yet. But where are we going? If Cook can keep them all happy with playing time and stuff like that and managing their expectations as players, this season is going to be wonderful, and I, what a time to be alive! And I hope this ages well.
Definitely. And Harvey, attackers, and more attackers. And Hayden Colston, who is a left back, can also play as a number 10. But Harvey, four fantastic signs there. Louis Barry, formerly of Barcelona. What's your main takeaways out of those four signings? And Cole Edwards is the one that just came out of nowhere.
That really came out of nowhere, didn't it? When they teased that video, the club, I honestly had absolutely no idea. You know, we were convinced it was going to be Jacobs, and then they dropped this bombshell of Kyle Edwards, and I was shocked. He was one that I would have loved, but kind of thought we got no chance of getting him, because, you know, he was on trial with Bournemouth. He had links with Celtic. You know, I know he'd hit a bit of a stumbling block at West Brom in terms of progress, but he was really, really highly rated. So I was absolutely delighted with that. I think he's going to be an absolute baller in this league. Like, seriously, I think he's going to be outstanding. Barry is one I was chuffed with as well. You know, I know Barcelona are in a little bit of a mess at the moment, but they don't sign you unless you're half decent. West, and then obviously he went back to Villa, who I think gave him a 6-year deal at 18, 19, was it something like that? So it goes to show how highly they rate him. Coulson, I think, fits exactly the kind of mould that Cook wants in a fullback. I can see why he kind of didn't move on to another target, Cook, because he really is exactly what he likes. You know, essentially plays as a second left winger. I think more of the reason why Coulson played in a number 10 is because I don't think Neil Warnock likes left backs that are under 6 foot. So I think he was just trying to shoehorn him in somewhere. But yeah, I'm chuffed with that. And who was the other? God, I've lost count now of all these signings. Was there one more?
Sonny Olukio, the 32-year-old.
How could I forget him? yeah, I can see why we've signed him. We've got quite a young, team, especially on the wings. So I can see a bit of know-how, a bit of experience. Not necessarily on the pitch every week, but he's a promotion winner. He's certainly not going to play 90 minutes every week. There's no doubt about that, as we've seen on Tuesday. But if he can help people like, you know, Barry and Dobbs and people like that, my only concern with it is, you know, is he going to make a match day 18 over Dobra? Probably, if Cook has got anything to do with it. There's so much competition in those front positions now. We're going to see occasions, I think, in throughout the year where someone's going to be playing 1 week and they're starting 11 and they might not even be on the bench the next week because you've got so many options, you've got so much variety. So, yeah, and there's more to come, of course, by the sounds of it, which is good. But I'm absolutely delighted. The one that stands out for me is Kyle Edwards, because, like I said, I think he's going to be a real, real good player. And I can see that they gave him a 3-year, essentially a 4-year deal because they've got the 12-month option, which they usually take. So, yeah, delighted. I don't think we could really have asked for a better window. I know we desperately need a centre-back, and I'm sure that will come, and still need two midfielders for me. But in the main, a brilliant window. And, yeah, it's going to be some ride when they all gel, because I think there can be a few 4-5-0 games this season. I really, really do.
We hope so. And, Liam, 14 through the door now. All of them, I don't think no one's probably... Maybe Sonny Luko is more the most random one. We'll think he was, once again, he wasn't linked. 32 years of old age. I think he went for 7 million a few years ago. Of course, his sister famously is a footballer as well, or was a former footballer. What's your thoughts on the four new recruits? I'm sure you're going to echo what Matt and Harvey said, but your notes on these signings.
Well, I mean, if we start with Luko, I mean, I remember, having lived in Scotland, I remember him playing for Aberdeen and Rangers and playing in European football. I believe, if I remember rightly, he scored at Tordre against Bayern Munich. But that was all the way back in, I think it was 2007, 2008. So
was Louis Barry alive? Was Louis Barry alive? Yeah, he was probably alive, but he was in nappies probably then.
so we are talking... a long, long time ago. But just to echo what Harvey said there, he's experienced. He's someone to have around the club to nurture some of the younger players and at the same time give that, I suppose, promotional know-how. He probably won't play a lot. He'll be in for cup matches and will be around if we need. And I think he's happy to be brought in on that basis. He's just an experienced head. Barry, I think, is a coup. I think he's really, really talented young lad. I saw him on TV last year playing for Villa against Liverpool when Villa had to basically field a load of youngsters because of COVID. wiped out the entire first team. And was it him that scored? I'm sure it was him who scored, I think. So, and he looks electric. He looks absolutely electric. So he's only going to be, only going to get better and with game time. And I think this level, he'll properly show how good he really is. I think Coulson, we need defensive reinforcements. And as Harvey said, hopefully more will, and Matt, but more will come through the door. I'm not sure about 25 signings. That might be a little bit far, but because if we've brought 14 already in, that's another 9. I think we're going to start looking at having too big of a squad again. But we needed defensive reinforcements, and Coulson will be in the fullback area, so that's one area ticked off. So now the main area now is centre halves, and just Kyle Edwards. I mean, that for me, the biggest thing that I take from Kyle Edwards is, one, it's a coup, but secondly, it kind of indirectly lights a big fire down at Fratton Park after the Michael Jacobs fiasco, where that's fallen through because we've managed to get Edwards at the 12th hour and had to stop that transfer going through. And with everything that Portsmouth seem to be quite obsessed with us this summer, I think that's going to make quite a tasty game. Well, two games, and unfortunately the first one's a Tuesday, but I'm very tempted to maybe go down because I think the atmosphere for that is going to be quite interesting. But as Harvey said, we're still not complete yet. We still need an extra, at least one centre half, and probably one because Toto will come back and we'll have four centre halves. But I agree, we need two central midfielders. And if I was putting a name out there, then I would, I mean, I don't know how obtainable it will be with all the financial mess they're in, but I would absolutely love Graham Shinney in from Derby. And as someone who has watched Scottish football and was a season ticket at Inverness when Graham Shinney was coming through the ranks and started as a left back, he is a very, very impressive player. He's gone on from that, winning the Scottish Cup with Cowley, going on to Aberdeen, which was the next step up, which is still a reasonably big club in Scotland. And then he's just like a duck to water down in England. He's fitted in so well in the Championship. So if there can be a deal done there, then I would absolutely love Graham Shinney in that central midfield. But I still think we need at least two in that area going forward before the window shuts.
Well said, as always. And Ben, to dot the I's, cross the T's, to finish off this sexy stuff chat, Paul Cook is going to have some headaches deciding who to play. And as Harvey said, you could leave out somebody. You know, someone may not even make the 18. You know, like, Armando Dobra has been fantastic in pre-season, but he may actually have Louis Barry on the bench instead of Dobra. He may miss out on the 18. Maybe he needs a loan, maybe. But your thoughts on the four signings and the signings in general? 14, very good signings indeed. And are you wanting 25, just like Matt?
Maybe Matt's getting a little bit excited, but that's fine. Be excited. It is exciting. 25, yeah, maybe not 25, but 14 so far. I think, like Liam and Harvey said, we need probably two, maybe three more. Centre half and two centre mids. Coulson, very exciting left back. I saw quite a few Middlesbrough fans were sad to see him go. Even if it is on loan, they think he will be a huge asset in League One. Apparently, we're a good club from most of the comments that I saw. A good club, go and enjoy your time at Ipswich, which was most of the comments. So that was, you know, nice to see. Seems like he'll be getting forwards. He fits that Cook sort of mould in terms of what he wants from his fullbacks. Edwards is, I know, sort of the standout in terms of the experience he's had in the Premier League. I think five appearances, a couple of starts. And if you've got that on your CV, that was only last season, whether they got relegated or not, you know, to drop down to League One. Obviously, Ashton and Cook have sold the project. As fans, that's absolutely amazing to see. Like, we've come so far in 3 months. It's ridiculous, really, to attract these names and still be looking for more. And I don't normally like to get involved in the controversy, but pissing other Cubs off makes me laugh because usually we're at the raw end of stuff and we've been rubbish for so long. I'm just got to embrace it, haven't we? I think Cubs have short memories when they say about us splashing the cash and all this other nonsense when, you know, we've let players go, we've got rid of wages, we've got fees for players. It's all good fun. It's all good fun. But the signings are all fantastic. Aluko, I'm not too fussed about, but I can see why he's done it for a bit of experience. Interesting that the track record of our wingers, they're not actually prolific in front of goal at all. So we're obviously seeing them as you know, that's where our assists are coming from. We're looking at them for purely creative wise and looking at the likes of Piggott and Bon and Norwood for our goals. Whether the wingers will chip in with 4, 5, 6 goals a season, we'll see. But I think we're really looking for our strikers to hit the back of the net and rocket us up the table. But yeah, Ross, really, really excited with everything. The boring ones are the centre halves, but Edmondson looks like a class signing. And if we can get another hairy ass defender, as everyone keeps quoting, then we'll be looking pretty solid, I think.
Okay, then, that's the sexy stuff out of the way. Let's bring the other sexy stuff that I know Harvey and Bono love, as well as Hutchie, good old Andy Warren. I know a lot of other fans enjoy it as well. And of course, it came out of nowhere on Friday, the signing of Lou Barry and Sonny Aluko. Then they just dropped it out of nowhere. Some people probably missed it. I actually missed it completely until I think me and Liam started to go and swimming. And we came out and then I realised and saw Ed Sheeran, he's got number 17. But that is all I'm going to say about it. But I'll let Matt and Harvey take the floor. Your thoughts on the numbers. One of the standout for me is Alanky. He's not got number one. He's got 31. But Bono, I'll let you take control. And then Harvey, chip in whenever you fancy as well. So you take the lead.
So, yeah. Hi, my name's Matt and I'm a squad number addict. I love this. I love this shit. I just think it's amazing. And yeah, what else can I say? I love the fact that our new Czech goalie, I'm still researching how to properly pronounce his name. Is it Hutky? Is it Haladky? I'm making waves. But yeah, 31, fantastic. There's a one there. He's a goalie and there's a one in there. So that's pretty cool. I don't like squad numbers being taken off people. So our boy John Nolan, remember him? He's lost 11, which to be fair, should never have got because he's not a left winger. And Caden Jackson got one, didn't he? But he's been demoted from 9 to 19. So yeah, I love this thing. You know what? The Ed Sheeran thing, marketing genius. That's all it is, people. He's not going to play. He's not going to come on in the last minute of the... I loved it when Paul Cook called it the Johnson's Paint Trophy. I loved it when he said that. It's absolutely fantastic. It's people. The reason why we did it is because 200,000 people in Korea are going to buy that shirt, which means we can go and sign flipping... matey boy from Brazil on 20 grand a week. That's why we've done it, and it's brilliant. Let's live with it. Let's celebrate the fact that Ed Sheeran is part of this absolutely amazing journey. Apart from that, there's no other kind of big surprises, is there? I love 14, the fact that Dobbs has got 14. You think of Johan Cruyff is just brilliant. 23 again is a complete baller's number, but I won't steal Harvey's thunder. So over to you, sweet Wales Prince.
Yeah, so there's some interesting choices in there. I have to say, I wanted Haladky as number one. I think we all know my views on Thomas Holy, the big Czech. But for 31, he is Danasian. 44. That's another interesting one, taking it off. Goldilocks, Emir Hughes, the Welsh, the other Welsh prince. I'm intrigued to see why Bonner has taken 18. I heard Andy say on the pod the other day there's an interesting reason behind that. So I'd like to hear why he's gone down that route at some point. I like Pickett as number nine. In all honesty, I thought Jackson would lose the number nine, but I thought that might have gone to Macaulay Bonn and Pickett. You see, when players go for random numbers like 39, like he's had his whole career, that he usually takes a round of them. But obviously, he's gone for that number nine shirt, which I think cements his place going forward, probably as Paul Cook's kind of number one man up front. Penny's three intrigued me as well. Didn't necessarily see him as that kind of nailed on for that shirt. And yes, I know I need a life, but like Matt says, I love this shit as well. I love this shit so much that I've been Googling other people's squad numbers. That's how much of a life I need. So yeah, this is my kind of time of year. I for some reason I love it. I like Harper as number four as well. I'm not against the centre mid as number four. A certain Flynn Downs is the new Swansea number four I saw today, which is interesting. So of course all that matters is what they do on the pitch. They can wear number 150, and as long as they score goals, that's all I care about in reality. But yeah, I do like a squad number. I always have been a squad number geek. I'm just glad that there are no outfield players with the number 13, because I know you've got your Michael Ballacks, but that doesn't do it for me. It really, really doesn't. So that is priority, and the fact that Coulson wasn't given number two, because if that was the case, then all hell would have broke loose. So yeah, I've had my little squad number rant. So I'm happy now. I've been waiting for that for so long.
Well, Matt, Harvey, thank you very much for taking the floor for the squad numbers. I'm going to quickly just ask you, who's got Flynn Downs' number now? Because that is our next segue into, of course, Flynn Downs departing the club finally. They've got to put their thinking caps on. Matt is currently, he's browsing. But I'm going to go over to Ben to get his thoughts on Downs departing, finally the Championship side. Swansea City reunited with Matt Gill. Of course, Matt Gill, who was at MK Dons, I think, for less than a month, and then went to and joined Russell Martin at Swansea. But Matt, who's got Flynn Downs' number?
It's the shortest professional footballer in the Northern Hemisphere. Connor Charlie Chaplin.
There we go.
All 4 foot nine of the boy. Come on, my son.
There we go. Well, Ben, as Harvey said, he's the new number four at Swansea City. What's your feelings on Flynn Downs? He's finally left. Last year it was when will he go? He stayed, and he was put in the bomb squad by Paul Cook this summer. Played for the under-23s at Chelmsford, I think, or somewhere random. I think Needham Market or somewhere random. He played for the under-23s. But your thoughts on that? He's gone, and the crown jewel, the final of the crown jewel, is gone.
Yeah, it's been inevitable, really, hasn't it? I think probably even since the Palace transfer request saga of last summer, I think realistically we knew he'd be going at some point. It didn't happen last summer. Obviously got that injury that ruined his season pretty much. I don't think he ever really got fully fit again. He's a player that I think most fans would have loved to stay if his attitude was right, his head was in the right place. You know, certainly the club is in the right place now, but that horse has obviously bolted. He was on his way out from probably when Cook first had that first chat with him last season. It was probably put on the table. Then from Downs and his advisors, I think he's probably been advised quite badly as a young player. Just sort of the way that he's forced himself out, the way that he went through it last year. But we're never going to know the full story as fans. It's disappointing when someone's been, I mean, he's been with us since he was 7 years old, I think. I know he's an Essex boy. I think he's a West Ham fan, but he's obviously got Ipswich somewhere in his heart, because, you know, he's been with the club for so long. But and we would, you know, he's the sort of player that we would have kept. You know, he's a good little player. I think it can sometimes go under the radar how good he is on the ball. He's sort of seen as a bit of a combative midfielder, and yes, he does like a tackle, and he's sometimes got sent off a bit sillily or picked up some silly yellow cards even. But he's certainly an excellent footballer. I think he'll fit in very well to Swansea and the way they'll want to play football. They'll continue their sort of footballing ethos under ex-scummer Russell Martin, the way MK Dons played. MK Dons obviously wanted to get Martin in as soon as possible because they they had the same footballing ideas, footballing ethos. And I know he said in the press that MK Dons were looking at Downs, but they're out, you know, he was out of their budget. Yeah, no shit. So yeah, Swansea could afford him. Probably the biggest thing I take away is Ashton again, done work wonders getting that fee. I know we don't know the exact amount, but it's, I think Stuart and Andy were talking about, or certainly reported, that we may not get even 500,000 for him at one point. And then suddenly it's popped up. We might be up to 1.5 million, which is extraordinary. So for someone who wanted out, where his contract was going to be running down, I know not this season, but next, it's a good deal for us. It's a good deal for Flynn. Good for both parties. Move on with our revolution.
Indeed. And Liam, as Ben said, he's been at the club since the age of seven, 15 years associated with club. How will he be remembered by town fans? You know, it's a shame how it ended with him, but I know fans will wish him well at Swansea. I'm sure he will be fantastic for Swansea. I'm sure they're going to be fighting for promotion this year in the Championship. How would you remember Flynn Downs leaving the club? You know, he was going to hopefully be one day a future town captain, but it is what it is. And yeah, we wish him well.
I think most fans will see it as the one that got away, really. He's obviously got many qualities. He's a very good footballer. And I mean, Crystal Palace wouldn't have been interested in him last summer had he not had that quality. I think it's been a bit disappointing, the two seasons that Town have been in League One. For him personally, I don't think he's performed anywhere near to the heights. We were all saying that he would absolutely rip the division up, and he never really did. I think last season, without the fans, I think part of it was injury. I think made it hard for him, a bit stop start. Remember him coming on against MK Dons, and then immediately, or well, not immediately, but didn't finish the game, was off injured, and we didn't see him for a couple of months, I think it was, and then got him back later on. But he just never, he wasn't the player that we expected from him. And as Ben said, as soon as his head was turned last summer, I think it's always been, it was always going to be a hard sell to keep him at the club. And I mean, the best thing that could have happened to us was the takeover, because I think you'll find that had the previous regime been negotiating his transfer, they wouldn't have got anywhere near to what we've managed to get for him. I've heard that it is about 1.5, but it could be up to 2 million with add-ons. So for that, for a player who probably didn't show as much as we all hoped he would, I think is a massive coup. And in some ways, we've all been absolutely loving the business that we've done so far. But in some ways, this transfer out might just be the best transfer we've done in the entire window, to get that much for a player who should be worth that amount, but clearly hasn't performed at that level to be getting that sort of, especially last season. I think it's a fantastic deal. And it had to be done, because clearly, even though Cook did make a few little mentions about some of the players who were dropped to the under-23s, about there may be a way back, but I need to see it, I don't think Downs was ever in that position. I don't think he was ever really seriously ever going to get back into the first team under Paul Cook. And frankly, we've said this, we don't want players who aren't going to be happy, who are going to make the, especially from the previous regime that Town have had. We've got rid of a lot of players and we're in a new era. We don't want players who are still hanging around from that era, but we can't get rid of, who are making things a little bit, making issues potentially behind the scenes of being unhappy. So to get. Look, we would love him to have stayed. We would have loved him to have donned the captain's armband, been out on the field and leading town towards promotion. But he didn't want to do that. And for town to get a really good deal for him is great. And for him to get a move up to the Championship, which at the moment I think is his level, until hopefully he can regain it and potentially maybe force another chance of the Premier League. I think it's a beneficial deal, a really good deal for both parties. And we just wish him well going forward.
Definitely, and that's the perfect way to end it then. Let's talk about this weekend. Away days are back, or if you live in Burton and you're a Town fan, then it's home game for you. But Burton this weekend, Burton started their League One campaign with a win. They beat Shrewsbury 1-0 at the Monogronery Walters Meadow Stadium, whatever they call it. They won 1-0. But then they also lost in the Carabao Cup. They lost 4-2 on penalties against Oxford. So Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink has all eyes on League One. Of course, he's been a revolution at that club. Of course, Burton, we were fearing that they could be seeing relegation. But they had a fantastic end to League One last year. And they've made some really good signings. I've been impressed by Burton's recruitment. Not as good as Town, of course. But for a club like Burton, they've done all right. I want to skip you quickly, Bono, because I want to go over to Harvey because he's going to be at the game. But I will come back to you. Do not worry, Matt. I will come back to you. But Harvey, you're going to Burton on Saturday. I'm sure you're looking forward to it. I know your dad is probably looking forward to it as well. Good old Terry. What's your feelings going into that? A match day on Saturday, you're going to wake up knowing you're going to travel to Burton. I don't know, how far is that from where you live?
It's about 2 hours-ish, just over 2 hours. So it's not too bad. It's not too bad. I'm just, honestly, I've saying to the lads before we started, I've never been so buzzing for a game. And I know that sounds silly because it's Burton away. But, you know, this last 18 months or so, not being able to go to any grounds, no fans, nothing like that. It's just going to be amazing to have a bit of normality again. Of course, I want us to win, but my main takeaway, regardless of the result that day, is just going to be being back in stadiums again and you know, shouting abuse at referees and calling opposition fans wankers and whatever it is. It's just going to be brilliant, and I can't wait. To give you a bit of context, I've written down the last Ipswich team that I watched. So this is 18 months ago. Blackpool away. I'll just quickly run it through. So we lost 2-1, last minute winner. I think it was Joe Nuttall, don't think he plays with Blackpool anymore. But the team we had out that day, so the last Ipswich game I watched, we had Holy in goal, less said about him the better. We had at right back, Luke Wolfenden. We had Chambers and Josh Earle, who I didn't actually mind, to be fair. In the centre-back partnership, we had Luke Garbutt, left-back. We had Downs and Scoose in midfield. On the right of midfield, we had Teddy Bishop. On the left of midfield, we had Freddie Sears. Playing as a number 10 that day was Emir Hughes. And up front, on his own, was Will Keane. So that team feels like forever ago. So going to a game this weekend with a brand new team is going to be bizarre. I'm buzzing for it. It's going to be a tough game because Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink is a manager I really like. He did a great job at Burton last time out. He had a spell out of management, didn't he? Because I think he went to Northampton, if I'm right. I might be wrong on that. Didn't have a great spell there. But he seems to be back doing a great job. And like you said, Ross, they've brought in some really good players. I don't know whether Atkins played on the weekend, but he's a player I really, really like. He's been mentioned on the pod before. He's a danger man for them. So it's going to be a tough game, but it's a game that if we want to get out this league, I mean, we want to be winning them all, but if we want to get out this league, we need to be beating teams like Burton. It's as simple as that. You know, Scotty Fraser playing against his old side, hopefully he won't be shifted out to the left. Now we've got options. Hopefully he'll be playing as a number 10 or as a centre forward. But yeah, I just cannot wait. I'll be there, my Ipswich scarf. I'll be singing, you know, whatever Ipswich songs down the motorway. I'll just be in my element, Ross. I really will. I'll have no voice by the end of the game, and yeah, bring it on because I'm buzzing, as you can probably tell. My prediction quickly, my head says 1-1, my heart says 2-0. I'm going to let my heart rule. I'm going to go 2-0 Town, get the first win under the belt and kick on from there.
Love it, love it. 2-0 clean sheet. I'm sure Scott Fraser will score against his former side. And Harvey, I cannot wait to see you on Saturday.
I'm looking forward to it, my friend. It's been far too long, yeah, without a shadow of a doubt.
Well, there you go. Enjoy. And over to you then, Matt. Harvey's gone for a 2-0 win. What's your prediction? And Cole Edwards could possibly make his debut. A few other players. Hayden Coulson at left-back. What do you reckon Paul Cook's going to do with the side?
We're going to stick with the old 4-2-3-1. One thing I noticed the other night was how narrow the wide players of the three behind the man at the top were. Very, very narrow, but that's because the fullbacks bomb on. But yeah, Ipswich 3, Jimmy Floyd Hasselbank's Burton Albion 1. So it's going to be an absolute banger. Kyle Edwards' debut goal. I think he's going to adorn himself, if that's the right word, to the faithful very, very early on. We'll see Harper and Evans just continuing. I mean, they're a dream partnership. Numbers 4 and 8, like central midfielders should be. They don't pass the ball sideways like our centre midfielders have done before. They ping things. They put their laces through it and they kick it properly, like proper professional footballers should do. But there you go. Bono tangent yet again. It's going to be absolutely banging. I am so jealous. I wish I bought a ticket. Instead, I volunteered to work. So I will be refreshing Twitter. And I want lots of photos from all of you. Photos, videos, fan reaction before and after the game. So, yeah, come on, you Blues.
Indeed, bring it on. And Harvey, I don't know if you've been to the Premier League Stadium before, but I do love it. It's a nice little setup there. And it's always been a nice day weather-wise. I've just jinxed it. I'm so sorry, Harvey. We're going to get wet. But
I think it should be quite nice. I'm sure I looked at it before on the way home from work. I'm sure I was asking my Google thing in the car what the weather was like in Burton. I'm sure it said it was decent. So fingers crossed. But to be honest, it could be absolutely pissing down with rain, and I'll still be buzzing. So nothing can dampen my excitement, Ross.
Definitely, I'm going to be wearing shorts as ever. So you know, there we go. My leg's going to be out just for you.
Shorts and squashies. What a combination.
Yes, my friend. It's going to happen. I'll give you one. I'll feed you one. But move on before we get to you know what. Liam, what's your thoughts then on this game? Burton, our record against Burton is very 50-50. Although they're always tight games. We've beaten them 2-1, 1-0 when we first entered League One. Luke Garbutt got the goal, the 1-0 win at the Pirelli Stadium. But what are you thinking going into this one?
Well, I think it'll be tight. It's quite I'm a little bit gutted I didn't go for a ticket, but I was waiting to see if I was playing cricket this Saturday or not, and I am. So last game to play, so I'll take the miss of Burton. But I will go to quite a few other away games, hopefully. But it's quite a tight state. I've never been, but it does seem like it's quite a tight stadium, quite tight to the pitch, and not a massive pitch. So it is going to probably be a game that's going to be slightly harder to break. It's harder to break down teams if they're going to be compact. And we saw that last season with Town when we couldn't score. And Burton didn't look too much better either, but they really went like a train at the back end of last season, and have started off this season well. And I mean, look, losing on penalties to Oxford, who were in the playoffs last year, I don't think many people will kind of raise their eyebrows much at that. So they've made a decent start to the season, so they will be dangerous. I am going to still be positive, but I'm still in positive mode. So I'm going to say 2-1 to Town. I think Burton will score because I doubt we will have a change in the defence for Saturday unless Edmondson has had a full week of training and is ready. So I still see that we may concede one, but I think that we will get the two goals to win the game. And just for Harvey, I was at that Blackpool game 18 months ago. I think it was Nondrele who scored the winner from the header. But my take was Freddie Sears missing the one-on-one 2 seconds earlier that could have won the game. So, painful memories in the wet as well.
And another aerial Thomas Holy error. That's all I'll say.
Yes, I remember it. And also remember driving Ross back to my nan's and the M6 almost being flooded. It was absolutely chucking it down when we came out after that game.
As if that day couldn't get any better, eh?
Yeah, supposed to be on the seaside, nice and sunny. And we just lost and it absolutely pissed it down.
Yeah, standard.
You're on mute, Ross.
I just realised I'm on mute. Oh, I said a great line there, but I can't use it again because it loses its impact. But I just said, get ready for those away days, because in all weathers, we're going to be enjoying town away with fans packed in our way and cannot wait. And Ben, to finish off the pods, what are you thinking going into this game? Paul Cook's first away game with fans in the ground as well. So he'll be seeing that away end full. We'll be seeing a lot of away ends, town filling up all across League One. I'm sure they're going to be in full voice. And fans who can't go to home games because they live so far. I know Dazza. I know John Watson's going to be at the game. The crew all coming together. It's going to be great. Unfortunately, you guys are not going to be there. But me and Harvey, part of this podcast, will be there. But Ben, prediction and how you feeling?
Looking forward to the game, as always. Well, I say as always, with this new team, I look forward to it. A great ground to go to. Went there for the Garbutt 1-0 game. Fantastic little ground. Some good pubs around. And Ipswich fans created a great atmosphere that day. So I'm sure they'll do the same again on Saturday. It's brilliant to be behind the goal on the terraces, but also we get that area of seating to the side as well. So we really hit the players with sort of that whole corner and then behind one goal is all Ipswich. So when we can roar them on, I think we'll roar them on to victory. Got to be positive right now. I think the way that our defence is lining up, I'm going to go for 3-2. And I'm going to say, I'm going to do a little headline, Piggott to bring home the bacon. I think he'll bag a brace, but that's my I'm only going to use that once all season. I promise I won't use it again, but that's a little headline. Hopefully that'll come to fruition Saturday, 5 o'clock, 3-2 Ipswich. Can't wait to see what we can bring, attacking intent. Yes, I'm sure Burton will maybe they'll sit in, but they're the home side. That should fit. I think it'll suit us. I think we'll pick up a lot of points away from home this year. Really looking forward to hearing all the stories from the KOA army. Delighted for people like Harvey, they can go to the game again. It's 100% good news story.
Definitely. And I'm going to copyright out that for you then, Ben, that headline. And you only can use that. That can be possibly the title of the next pod next week if we do get the 3-2 win. And of course, we do play Cheltenham on Tuesday night. Of course, we'll cover it on the main pod on Monday. But that's another big game against Cheltenham, newly promoted side. You know, we drew against Morecambe, Cheltenham. I'm sure they're going to be looking forward to seeing Ipswich Town at Cheltenham Stadium. I don't know their ground name. I should know this. I should have got my facts right.
Wadden Road.
Yeah?
Wadden Road.
Yeah. Wadden Road. That's a bit boring, isn't it? I don't know. But anyway, that's enough of that. It's been a great pod. Matt, Bono, it's been a pleasure. Harvey, cannot wait to see you on Saturday. If you are listening to this on a Saturday morning, Kings of Anglia Army, if you enjoy your trip. Liam, thanks so much for joining as ever. And Ben, always bringing the suaveness of his speak. It's a pleasure to have you all. Make sure to stay tuned for all the Kings of Anglia content over the weekend, and also stay tuned for more Fan Social podcasts through the season. If you want to get involved, get in contact at RossMediaUK on Twitter. It'd be great to get you more involved. Let your voice heard on all things going on at town. I'm rambling as I always do on this outro. But if you haven't already, subscribe to the Kings of Anglia on all the socials. Leave us a review. Let us know what you think. Who's your favourite of the Fan Social posse I don't know if you want to do that or not. It's up to you. But there we go. I've been Ross, and look forward to speaking to you very soon. So bye for now.
From true crime to football, Brexit to football. For more great podcasts from Archon, head to audioboom.com/channel/Archon.
If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.